Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back again to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself, I am a Frankenberry, and we are back with another show, and we are going to be talking to a fellow named Corey Allen today, who has a brand new book with a pretty cool title. Jonna, what is it?
Oh, I am loving this book, you guys. So Corey Allen, who has lots and lots of followers on Instagram, wrote a new book called Brave New You, a roadmap to believing that more is possible. And I got to tell you guys, and we'll talk to him more about this on the air. You know, Carol and I read a lot of books, and they're a lot, you know, they're self-helpy, they're inspirational. This one, every once in a while, you find one that really resonates with you. This is my one. It's good.
Okay. All right. Well, that's that is something to look forward to there, audience wise. And now, Jonna, I know you are a fan of Sex and the City. Is that where your name is coming from today, your alias, or is it because it's one of the cats that you have named such?
No, well,
wait, before you answer that, I just want to say I'm massively impressed, Frankenberry, that you know the name Samantha Jones is associated with Sex and the City.
Yes,
and
I and I am so good that I have never ever even watched 5 seconds of one of those shows.
Well, then you probably know because of us.
Yes, I do, of course, know because of you. But it's, well, also, it was kind of pop culture-y, wasn't it? I mean, it was pretty darn big. It's not like you could escape the name Samantha Jones.
That is true.
And I was giving you credit.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate it. Hey, me actually listening to some of that, credit taken and appreciated.
Okay. Well, and I have something that I want to talk about that pertains to that show. But first, I just want to ask you guys something, because I think I have developed a brand new quirk, and I just want to verify that, but I'm not even sure it's a thing. So I want to ask you to, if it is a thing or if it's something unique to me that I need to seek professional help for.
Okay, sure.
We're ready.
Away. Yep.
Okay. So you guys know how I have that thing called misophobia, right? Remember, we've talked about that.
And mouth noises?
Mouth noises. I can't stand mouth noises of any kind. And that is a thing, because we looked it up. And it's called misophobia. I have this misophobia thing. All right. Well, I have something I think that's an offshoot of that. Hang on.
Wow. This is one serious phobia. Holy crap. I mean, you got the authorities coming to your door, and you haven't even told us what it is yet.
All right. So in addition to me having this dislike for mouth noises, I now have a dislike for dumb stuff that comes out of people's mouths. And what I mean is, like, and I mean it, like, I'm not even making this up. This isn't a bit. This is for real. I'll tell you what happened, and then you can tell me if it's a thing or if I need professional help or both.
Well, and I just want to say before you tell the story, I don't think this is a new thing with you, but go.
that's a good point, Carol. Yeah. Yeah. This isn't a new quote unquote quirk.
I know what you're thinking, but when I describe this quirk, you might go, oh yeah, wait a minute. Not exactly.
Okay.
I also have to preface this by saying that if the person who was committing this quote offense is in earshot of the show right now, I just want to say for the record, it's not you, it's me. So don't get offended.
That's right. It's not you, it's me. Can we just be friends?
Yes, it definitely is. So, all right. So here's the situation. And once again, it was a situation that happened on one of my train rides to and from the city, because I've been spending a lot of time. I love taking the train to the city. It's like one of my new favorite things. Okay, fine. But a few days back, I was on the train, and there was a particular conductor who decided that he wanted to be maybe a comedian of sorts. So every single train stop, everyone, you guys, this was actually on the way home from the city, he would make up some corny rhyme to describe the train stop. I can't even, let me see. You know, something like, you know, we're now approaching Croton Harmon. So hope you're not farming. Like, it was like that. Like, really? Now, mind you, the first couple times it was kind of amusing. And I'm like, oh, look at the, you know, this person's trying to lift people's spirits. How cute is that? I like it. But when there are 13 freaking stops on the train, after a while, I was like, enough, knock it off. And I literally couldn't stand it. I even think that I sat there and audibly said, like, stop, like audibly to nobody because I'm sitting alone. And now I had to ask myself, is that a thing? Is it a thing to get annoyed by somebody else trying to have some fun?
Oh, interesting way to phrase it.
I was going to say, well, that's a different way to look at it.
Yeah. Like you said, dumb things. So now we're kind of shifting this a little bit. But I will say, we've talked about this before, about your different moods and energy levels. Like if you're down and grumpy and somebody very bubbly comes along, you want to throat punch them. So were you in a pissy mood?
No. See, that's the thing. And that's the twist. That's the twist. I was in a perfectly fine mood. Perfectly happy, but fine. And that, this whole corny thing that went on for every stop after stop actually changed my mood and put me in a bad mood, which was exactly the opposite of what this person was trying to achieve, I'm sure. That's why I'm concerned.
So was it him being up and you not being up, which you're saying, no, that wasn't the case. Was it the corniness?
I think
it's kind of funny.
Or is it just that these days you just haven't had the patience for anything like that?
Wait, I think it's coming to me. I know what it is, Frankenberry.
What's it?
Because Jana is very two things. Well, she's many things. Two of those many wonderful things is she is funny. And she's competitive. So what was happening is as the stops kept progressing and the jokes were continuously to be corny, in her head, she's like, I could do such a better job at this. I would be so much funnier. God, that's dumb. Am I right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is certainly a possibility there, Miss Pesky. Nicely done.
Yeah, like if I was going to make this stop, I would say this. That was dumb. Fail.
You could be onto something. Let me add an element here. Cause now that I'm recalling how I was feeling in the moment when these corny little quips were happening. And part of it, getting back to my original problem, which is misophobia, is that the speaker,
I'm not sure how that connects to this.
The speaker was loud. So, like, maybe if the volume of the jokey corniness had been down a little bit, I wouldn't have minded so much. But it was, like, startling almost. Like, every time we got to a stop, I was maybe reading something or just daydreaming out the window. It was like, ah, now we're coming to Peekskill. I hope you don't want to be killed or whatever he was saying, which is nothing. And maybe, so that's why it's like it's like an offshoot. It's like if you have something minor, it's like if your little head cold turns into a sinus infection. It's like my misophobia turned into something bigger.
But this wasn't mouth noises.
I was going to say this is just volume. I mean, this is not, it's not like the guy was, you know, snap, snap, snapping away, you know, with spit noises and stuff while he was saying his little funny quips, you know, but, I mean, he was just being loud and interrupting your mental state. He was just.
Well, and that's what it is. She was in a zone. She was in a mental state. And then there's just enough time. Okay. That was annoying. Then there's just enough time for her to like chill, get in her zone, get focused on something, and then boom, again, she gets her focus gets interrupted. That part I do get, that annoyance.
Right, and I can understand that.
Let me give you one last layer to this, and then we'll drop it. So, you know, after a million stops and a million corny quips and me, like, screaming, ah, stop, you know, Finally, it was approaching, soon to approach my stop. And my stop happens to be New Hamburg. And I found,
what did he say for that?
I found myself sitting in the seat going, what's this cornball going to rhyme with New Hamburg? It's impossible. Yep. And then I waited for it.
He got you going.
And he slinked away from it because he didn't rhyme with New Hamburg. He rhymed with something else and then just said, oh, and by the way, it's like New Hamburg. I'm like, what are you doing? You just rhymed every single stop but mine.
Oh, man, you are adding layers to this.
Oh, my God. This is quite an onion now. So the best part is when it's all said and done, however much this guy annoyed you, and he annoyed you with, you know, with his volume and with his corniness of these rhymes for every stop, then without even knowing it, ironically, he annoyed you even more because the one thing you wanted when it was all done was a really bad rhyme for New Hamburg. That's right.
Oh, well, he could have said, and we're pulling into New Hamburg, home of Jonna Spilbore, and rhymed something with that.
Oh, he could have said, we're pulling into New Hamburg, home of Jonna Spilbore, like Frankenberry says.
I just love the fact.
I'm surprised you knew where to find the guy. I'm surprised you didn't go march right up.
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to march up and I want to give a better rhyme for New Hamburg the next time I'm on and he's doing it.
Exactly. It did. It did become a competition there at the end. I just love the fact that you got annoyed by not being annoyed at the end.
I got annoyed by not being annoyed.
Or not being extra annoyed, I guess.
Oh, my God. So true. But the New Hamburg one is a stumper. Like, I'm sure I could find something, but I'm not going to waste my town. If I don't get to say it on the train PA, I ain't doing it.
You could find something for Hamburg pretty easily, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. I'll try to think of something by the end of this show, but it's a pretty tough one.
I know. I'm Googling it, and there's not much.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Okay. So,
all right. So, does this have to do with why you're showing up as Samantha Jones today?
No. So what I originally wanted to talk about, so here's something interesting. I'm showing up as Samantha Jones because I did not realize that this is not new, but I was scrolling social media and I got mesmerized by an interview that Kim Cattrall, who played Samantha Jones on Sex and the City, was having with Piers Morgan. And I'm like, wow, I thought it was a new interview. But apparently it's not a new interview. But what is happening is somehow, I did not realize this, but there has been a very long ongoing feud between Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I find, you know, they were such... The show is just so iconic and so great. Like, you never would have thought that, but you should figure it out because since then, you know, they have a new show that's an offshoot of that and Kim Cattrall is not part of it. And I kind of heard, you know, rumblings of there was some sort of, you know, falling out, and that's why she didn't want to do the new show. So then I went down this rabbit hole of interesting facts about the show Sex and the City. And I just wanted to
bury weight, get your pillow.
What's that?
Get your pillow. Get ready. Settle in for the interesting facts about Sex and the City.
What are you guys talking about?
Come on. Now, it wasn't 15 minutes ago that Carol was giving you a compliment for knowing a little something about Sex and the City. Huh?
Well, I got the one compliment. I don't need any more.
Okay. So what interesting facts did you unearth about the show Sex and the City?
Okay, this is really, some of these are really good. I won't go through all of them, just a couple. Okay, do you guys, now Frankenberry, you can sit this one out. do you guys remember?
Here he is.
Episode? Exactly.
Do you remember the episode when Sarah Jessica Parker, she was dating Mikhail Baryshnikov? Do you remember that season by any chance? And she goes to Paris with him? You know, remember
not
that?
Really.
Oh, so, all right. Anyway, she goes to, so other people might remember. She goes to Paris with him. And one night, she had to leave him at an event or something. So she's dressed up in this beautiful, beautiful gown. And she ends up just wasting it because she had to go back to the room and she takes a nap. And the gown, which is gorgeous, it's like this gray, looks like feathers, was the most expensive piece of wardrobe on the set. Guess how much that one dress cost? A dress, mind you.
$11,000.
$80,000.
Holy crap.
$80,000. Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh my God.
Here's another one. You know how Carrie was in love with Mr. Big? Did you know that not a single time and not a single episode did she ever refer to him as Big to his face? Never, ever. The only time you heard her call him Big was when he was not in the scene.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
What did she call him? Did she not address him?
She never called him anything. In fact, that's what it says. In fact, she doesn't call him anything at all in the entire series. And in the movie, so after the series was over and they did a couple of movies, she does call him John. Apparently that was his real name. But in the series, she never calls him anything. And they were on for like 6 seasons. Speaking of, season 5 was cut short. Season 5 was cut short because Sarah Jessica Parker was pregnant. Huh. And let me just give you, okay, I'll give you one more.
Oh, please do.
There are going to be some people who find this interesting. When Charlotte's character got engaged to that hoity-toity Trey, which they did apparently outside of Tiffany's, the iconic Tiffany's, that wasn't really Tiffany's. Why wasn't it Tiffany's? Because Tiffany's would not let them film inside Tiffany's. So they had to build a fake Tiffany's set. Tiffany's was afraid for security reasons they couldn't have anybody film inside the store, but
Tiffany's was still okay with using the name Tiffany's and the fake outside of the store.
I guess apparently they were, and I don't know why that reminded me of another a feud that Bethany Frankel's been having with Chanel, because apparently Chanel wouldn't let her in the Chanel store, and now Bethany Frankel is giving them a piece of her mind on social media.
I briefly saw something. Did they not recognize who she was? Was she not dressed well? What was that? Why was she not allowed in?
Both. They didn't recognize her, and she was dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, which is fine. And then she wanted to go in the store. She was somewhere in Chicago, and the sales guy comes out and says, "Do you have an appointment?" She's like, "No, I'm Bethany." And he's like, "Sorry." She made some hay with that.
I'm surprised she didn't work her way in. I mean, she's tough. She is a brave individual. So the fact that she let some stupid sales guy not let her in and do what she wanted to do, I don't know.
Well, she certainly
not the brave. That's not the brave Bethany I know.
She certainly is brave, and maybe
nor the brave Bethany I know.
Maybe she's going to find a new you with all that bravery. How do you like that, Double Sagu?
Yeah, hold on. I'm just bringing my eyes back to the front of my head. Okay, go ahead.
Frankenberry.
All right, well, that was our first ever tandem Double Sagu to announce that when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with author, podcast host, and major, major influencer. Is it influencer or influencer? I always struggle with that.
I like influencer because it sounds closer to influenza.
But yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, because they all make me ill.
I like influencer. Anyway, we're going to be talking with Corey Allen because he wrote his newest book is called, ta-da, Brave New You. And I am absolutely loving it. And we're going to get all up in that business when we come back from the break with Corey Allen.
All right, that sounds good. And also with, of course, Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and some guy. And we will return, so please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilborn. It is Carol Pesci. It is that guy they let hang around. And it is time also to get to another guy this morning. And we're going to be talking with Corey Allen. Right, Jonna?
We are. And this is like a double treat speaking with Corey Allen, because not only did he write a fabulous book that we're going to talk all about, but this is radio. And man, does this guy have a voice for it. So without further ado, we are joined by Corey Allen, who is an author, podcast host, and influencer from Austin, Texas. Alan, he writes daily thoughts on mindfulness and mental clarity for his large, very large Instagram following, reaching over 1 million people a week. He has been featured in the New York Times. He's just dropped his newest book, Brave New You, A Roadmap to Believing That More is Possible. I can't wait for words to come out of his pie hole, people. Wait for it. Corey Allen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your real voice. Women are going to be swooning during this show. Like, you could, you know what, do me a favor, say something like, say something that would not be sexy at all, because it's going to sound sexy. Like, I don't know, talk
Corey,
about.
Corey, I'll give you a tip. I'll give you a tip. I have mayonnaise on my lip. Excuse me.
I mean, honestly, that sounds pretty sexual to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you should go with something
Jonah
more
broke
like
up with somebody for that once. That's why I'm suggesting it. Did.
But I think if you just said something like, I work at Mel's Tool and Die.
Yeah, say that.
I'll do one. I'll try and think of the least sexy thing I can, which I'll just say air traffic controller.
Oh, no, yes.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you. Thank
oh, my gosh. You. Thanks for playing with us, Corey.
It's my pleasure. Yeah.
I can't. I mean, your voice is amazing. But even more amazing is we want to talk about your newest book, Brave New You. And I'm going to tell you a little secret because you don't know us. But normally how we find our guest, Corey, is we either see something on social media that resonates with us and then we, you know, we reach out, or we see something that resonates with us and then we do a lot of stalking and then we reach out. You have a new stalker. That's me. And I was mentioning to you off air that I'm about halfway through this book, and this Carol and I consume a lot of, you know, I'll say self-help, inspirational, motivational.
Sound like you're going to say alcohol and then you stop yourself.
We consume a lot of books. Not all of them land. Yours is so resonating with me that I'm very excited to talk to you. So thank you for writing it. So aside from me espousing how wonderful your book is, why don't you start with a little bit about you? What made you write Brave New You?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me and also for all the kind words there. I mean, the short of it is that I started paying attention closely to, you know, the amount of feedback I get to my writing online, to how people comment, the, you know, the endless kind of DMs that I get, the comments and everything. And I started paying attention to what was it that people were really trying to find in their lives? Like, what's the root issue that all these people are facing? And as you mentioned, you know, my content reaches about 1 million people a week. So that's a pretty good test sample of people that I could study and sort of observe. And I started just writing down notes of like, what are the themes and the ideas that are really resonating with people that I'm sharing? And how can I find like a way to connect all of those? What's the core issue? And it really surprised me is that it seems as though almost everyone feels like that a better life, whatever that means for them, that could be something small. It could be a small personal change. It could be a huge professional change, whatever it is, that it's right at their fingertips, but they can't quite figure out the pathway, how to get there. And the frustration comes because they can feel the arising emotion. They can feel the passion, the drive, the desire to make that change, to step into this different version of themselves, but they can't quite figure out how to break it loose, turn the key, and open that door. So I thought about my own experience in life, and I thought about how I've done that, and what are the necessary steps, not just theoretically, but what are the actions that people can take from where they are right now all the way through to a place to where they are moving into the future. And where, this is where the title comes from. Ultimately, this all comes down to being able to hear the intuitive voice inside of you. Listen to the thing that makes you feel alive, inspired, the feeling that's guiding you throughout your life, and actually trusting that, instead of denying that, instead of allowing the negative self-talk to talk you out of listening to what feels right to you, and allowing the influence of other people and culture and family and society and so forth to essentially manipulate you in some way to denying your own instinct. And the more that we can listen to that sense of self with clarity and learn how to disarm the negative, the thinking habits and behavioral habits that keep us from acting on that, the more we can live an intentional life. And the more we live with intention and clarity in the present moment, then the more that we will build meaning, will trust ourselves, we'll feel confident, and we'll continuously move into a life of curiosity and openness and excitement, as opposed to one of calcification and numbness and self-denial.
Corey, what would you say to someone who said, okay, I get that, and it sounds hard?
I would say it's not hard. What it is that, and I would say, I hear you and I understand that it sounds hard, but let me break it down into small bites for you. Really, it's easy and it's simple. You just need direction to understand how to make it start happening. And that happens with a bunch of tiny, really simple steps. There's a reason in the book I have a whole section about setting attainable goals, because the building the self-confidence, building the self-belief to be able to, you know, walk your own path comes from doing something super small. And because it's just a functionality, it's like a process we need to learn one time. And once we learn it once, then we can repeat it again and again and again. And it just continues to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So, for example, let's just say that someone is sitting around and they're like, I don't feel very good about myself. I don't feel like I, you know, my appearance, whatever, my confidence. So they might go, all right, well, what can we do? Maybe we'll buy a couple of new pieces of clothing. Maybe we'll get some new shoes. Maybe we'll change something about our hair or our appearance. And then you go out, you grab some new clothes. Maybe you feel a little bit better. You feel a little bit more confident in yourself. You feel sort of refreshed in this really small way. If we zoom out and look at what happened there, the function of the mind was someone used their self-awareness to notice the way that they were feeling, notice what was holding them back, and then decided an action that they could do that was very simple that would then solve that problem. And by doing that, they then feel better and have a little bit more energy and a little bit more sense of self in their life. That's a really tiny example, but once you do that once, it's valuable because then you can look back and you can reflect on that and go, hey, you know what? I was feeling kind of down. I noticed something that would make me feel better. I followed through with it. And now I actually feel a palpable change. And it's that moment where once you realize that once, then you go, you know what? I'm going to do that again, but in a different area of life. And I'm going to do that small thing again and again and again. And those things start building until they become really big. And then you find yourself going, you know what? I am going to start that business. And you have this sense of confidence because now you have this track record behind you of proving that you can observe something that, you know, that you want to change and that you can analyze it, make that change and move forward.
Corey, this is a powerful message. You're saying success in general, self-confidence is a process. I think we believe that if we're not feeling about ourselves in a way that we want to feel, when the circumstances in our lives are not where we want it to be, something big has to change. I got to radically change, and we are not wired for change. And you are coming along saying baby steps. It's a process. Step back from feeling overwhelmed and say, just do this little thing and this little thing, this little thing. And what's coming to mind right now is when you look at superstar musicians, and we see them because all of a sudden they burst on the scene and we think, wow, they got their big break. Well, American Idol and those shows, maybe that occasionally happens, but it's typically not that way. It's taking repetitive action. It's keep moving forward, little steps become powerful change.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, that's a really important part of it. It's really important. And if we think about it a bit more deeply, like radical change is inherently impulsive. If you're like, I'm going to sell everything and move to wherever, that's an impulsive decision. That's not a grounded decision. And impulsive decisions are chaotic. And because they're chaotic, they're therefore unstable. And they are they can tend to have the same negative effect as they do in the sense of what they would be positively, right? Because they're unstable. So they're not going to solve the problem. It's just going to add more dynamic of to the chaos of your own existence. So the small consistent actions are really valuable because they're clear, they're intentional, they're grounded in reality. They're not trying to be used as some way to further delude yourself or add more confusion to your life. They're little bricks of clarity that start, as you said, building up and building up and building up. And I love what you brought up about just the consistency of, you know, a musician is it's, yeah, I mean, the 10-year overnight success is classic for a reason. Mm. It's like, but even people who were successful, I mean, that's the funny thing about it is that even someone who's doing really well, you only see the wins. You only see right. the things that break through because mm-hmm. those are the things that break through. But in between the thing that you saw and then the next thing that you see, there was maybe 24 different attempts that this person took that didn't work out.
Which, and most people, they don't see that. Just like I think maybe one of the underlying premises about this book also is we forget that it's not, quote, normal to feel crappy. Like it's not like life is meant to be happy and bring you joy. So if you're not happy with something and you're not comfortable with something, you know, there's one line of thought that says, well, just be grateful for what you have. And then there's another line of thought that's like, well, you can change it. And I firmly believe in that. And your book, I think, shows people, illustrates to people how you can change that which you do not like. And it's important. I mean, it's good to be grateful. Don't get me wrong. I believe in gratitude 100%. But I don't believe in staying stuck if you don't feel good where you are.
Oh, totally. I mean, you could have the worst luck ever and have a terrible life and be suffering, but still go, you know, I'm grateful that at least I'm alive. Now let's move forward. You know, that's kind of the worst case scenario. So yes, I think, you know, being grateful with where you are, what you have, and the people in your life, it does not exclude you from also wanting to be able to change. I think those two things actually can work together quite well.
And Corey, can I read a line from your book?
Sure.
And this has on the topic of your book is Brave New You. You say something to understand is that your mind and body didn't evolve to make you feel good about yourself. Your mind and body evolved to help you survive. Your mind would much rather hit you with a negative thought that shuts you down than to have you wander into a dangerous situation. I'm an analytical girl. I like to understand the why of things. Just reading that line was like, wow. So if I'm not as brave as I think I should be or can be, this is helping me understand fundamentally, this is why.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, growth lives in the unknown, right? And so from an evolutionary psychology point of view, our body doesn't want us to be in the unknown because that's basically like going, we'll walk out into the jungle at night alone. You know, that's the unknown as far as our kind of animal brain is concerned. And so it tries to keep us in these, you know, these familiar patterns. Like Joanna was talking about, these patterns that happen to emerge over our lives just by random chance, because generally people aren't reflective. They're not self-aware. They're not paying attention to what's happening in their life. And so therefore they're just reacting to their life. So life forms around them. And then they mistake what has happened to evolve as what's quote unquote normal. And that sense of normalness appears to be all that there is. And that's why people get stuck. But what we have to do is recognize, as you were just talking about, that we need to intentionally move into the unknown. We need to find that new space because that's where growth lives. And it's only by recognizing of why we feel the resistance, why we feel the fear, then can we bypass that and disrupt that program running inside of us that tries to keep us safe in that way. And so that way we can move into a new area and, you know, expand and grow in the ways that we desire.
Corey, you were talking earlier about, you know, when I said, you know, what if somebody thinks this is hard? And you explained that you can take these small shifts and sort of wash, rinse, repeat. Like once you know how to do a small one, you can move up and you can do more small ones or a bigger one, what have you. But I think the key, correct me if I'm wrong, is that none of this is external. Like all of this change, just you control it because it's in your mind. Like you don't have to, if you want to move into a new house, you don't have to say, well, once I move into the new house, I'll be happy. You can start with a smaller mindset shift that'll get you closer to that external goal, or am I sounding stupid?
No, that's exactly that's exactly right. I mean, everything, ultimately everything comes down to perspective. It's all how we see the world. You know, it's like the, not to get too abstract here, but the, you know, the world appears and exists in our mind, right? Because we are perceiving it. We're looking out of our eyes out into the world. We're taking this kind of like this instrument. We're taking this reading of what the world is like, and how we feel influences how we see the world. If we change how we feel, then it will change how our mind operates, and therefore it will change how the world appears to us. And so all of that change happens internally. And then what's beautiful is that, you know, how we think influences how we feel influences how we act, and how we act influences who we are in the world. So once you change the way that you're thinking about yourself and your perspective on life, then you change the way you feel, because you'll feel more optimistic, you'll feel more powerful, you'll feel more passionate. That changes how you show up physically. Now, physically, you're signaling more confidence, more sense of grounding, more clarity, and that changes who you are in the world, and then the world starts to respond to you differently.
I love that.
I feel like you're making success and life into a mathematical equation. Not making it. You're helping us see it in that way.
Yes, that's what I try to do. I'm a really logical person, and I like that, because I like to apply it to things that are almost spiritual in a way, because those things are generally so nebulous and difficult for people to understand. And the thing about that is that it generally can be as damaging to people, because they misapprehend what those ideas are supposed to mean, and then it just kind of creates more suffering. So I like to really break those things down into point A, point B, point C, to help people understand them and be able to move through them in their life.
I know we have to wrap up with you soon, but I have a pointed question. I don't know if maybe you can answer before we have to let you go, but what would you say to somebody who gets smacked in the face by something? Like, this is a great roadmap for when you have goals and you want to attain them. What happens if something, a tree falls in your path on the way to doing all this? Is there an easy way to overcome having your face shoved in the dirt?
Yeah, well, I would say not only if that happens, just expect that to happen. I mean, because that's what life is. Life is not a succession of green lights. Life is, and I put this in the book towards the end, it's like things go great, then they suck, then they go great again, then they suck, then they go great. It's just the patterns of how life operates. Life is a collection of joy and suffering, of good luck and bad luck. What matters isn't that, because that's just how life is. What matters is how we engage with those moments in the present. So if something falls, and again, it goes back to perspective. If a tree falls on your life and it screws things up, you can either go, oh, you know, this is terrible. Now, you know, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop trying. This happened to me. Like, I'm being cosmically punished by the universe. Or you can look at it and go, well, this sucks. But what can I learn from this? Maybe I could reflect on this. Or at the very least, you can go, well, this happened. Now, carry on, like move on. There's no reason to stay attached to the fact that something bad's happened to you, and allow it to identify something about yourself and who you are.
Yes, we are who we, how we respond to what happens to us, not what happens to us.
100%.
And this is all really great stuff. And I wish we could talk to you forever, not just because of your content, because of the soothing melodic sounds of your voice, Corey. People can listen to you because you also, in addition to the book, like I said, I have the audio version of Brave New You, but you are also a podcast host, and your podcast is called And Then It Hit Me. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
I love that. So people can subscribe to your podcast wherever podcasts are quote unquote sold. They can get your book, Brave New You, A Roadmap to Believing That More is Possible. They can find you everywhere on social media at Hey Corey Allen. And I really hope that people will, because I got to tell you, like I said, I'm not quite halfway through, and I'm already feeling like your book, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke, is life changing. honestly life-changing.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for that, and I really appreciate it. And I thank both of you for having me on and spending this time with me today.
Thank you, Corey. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you very much there, Corey. Much appreciate you taking your time to spend with us. So we will be back. There's still more to come with Happy Hour. John Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and that guy. And we'll be right back with segment number 3. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back one more time here this morning with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Frankenberry. Wait, I have to rhyme it with something. Hello, Frankenberry. You're so very, very-ish.
And contrary and scary.
Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, you need it on that train. You need Aunt Jen on that train.
Oh, my God. I remember
she used to call in with all her odes and rhyming.
Yes, yes.
She would write them on the fly.
Yes. She was very, very quick with that. Very quick. And so Corey Allen, the voice of God there, talking to us. Yeah, I know. Holy cow.
I lied. I said I was going to get the Kindle. I said this off air. I always like to support our authors. I will buy their book, either Kindle or paperback, sometimes both if I really like it. And I saw an Instagram post that said it was to pre-order, which was an old post. And it was out. And he sent me the free copy. So I said I was going to order Kindle. I might get the audio.
I'm telling you, I did not know until today that that was his voice. It's nice to listen to. It's very soothing to listen to him. And he's so darn smart.
Yeah.
And he makes big change sound simple, which is that's what people want. Like, you scare people away if you give them all this, you know, esoteric kind of difficult strategies kind of stuff. His is really straightforward, and you go, I find myself going, oh yeah, I can do that, sure. And that's important when you're trying to make positive change.
And he said that was very deliberate to take something that seems complex and break it down to a process. You want your life to be better, you want to feel better. It's a process, and it's a simple one. You just got to be aware of it and keep doing it.
Exactly. Just like, you know, let's say you have a cat that likes to bathe in the water bowl instead of drink out of it, right?
Yeah, sure. Where are you going with this?
Well, you got to very deliberately figure out a way that you could put it on another shelf so she can't bathe in it.
Okay. All right. I will take that you have really stretched to make that connection. But we'll go with it.
So this was off air. Frankenberry has a cat that is a very messy drinker and likes to stand in the water bowl and lick its paws.
Yes. Yes. After splashing the water all about.
Yes.
Often out of the bowl.
That is a cat thing, by the way. I did read up on that. And they like, maybe because, you know what? Frankenberry. This is completely off our Corey Allen topic, but I bet you I know what she would really like. She would like one of those automatic water feeders that the water moves, because cats like
A little bubbler.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know how much effect that would have on the cricket, because she is blind.
Well, she would hear it.
She's kind of almost deaf, too.
Oh, well, screw her then.
No, I just have to make sure that I've got some water somewhere stashed that Bella knows how to find it, that maybe Cricket doesn't for at least 5 minutes. So that's that's
Donna, how are your five non-existent cats?
Oh yeah, they really are so cute. They're good. They're still secrets. Still haven't told my parents. I don't know. Maybe 5-10 years from now. I can get away with it unless my parents have to like sleep over my house for any reason. So let's just hope that they stay healthy, they stay good, and that never happens. And I'll keep this secret for 20 years.
That's right. Let's make sure that dad doesn't decide he wants to do some renovations on the house and they need a place to crash.
Yeesh. Yeah.
Yeesh.
I'll have a lot of splaining to do. But yeah.
So, Corey, I'm so grateful he's able. I cannot wait to get to the rest of the book. It's really
really is.
And I've said this before, every once in a while, and we talk to a lot of great people, a lot of smart people, really have great intentions of wanting to help others. But there's sometimes when you're reading something and you feel something shift, it's like beyond the logical brain. There's something you just feel different reading it. And I'm getting that with this book.
Exactly. Same thing I got. Which is, and I know that we've had other guests on where you have had a shift like that, Curly Pesky, before. And I didn't from the same, and don't get me wrong, all our guests are great and I love the material, but certain things have resonated with you, not with me. Certain things resonate with me, not with you. And that's the beauty of having such a cadre of professional, brilliant people on this show for the last dozen years.
Yep.
So, exactly.
With that, I guess, so if anybody wants to check Corey out, if you know, you can check out his podcast first, which I love the name of. It's called And Then It Hit Me. And Corey Allen is everywhere on social media. Hey, Corey Allen. He's got a crap ton of followers on Instagram. And the book is called Brave New You. And I can vouch that the audio version, he sounds just as sexy. Let's just call it.
No, she paused. I was waiting for it.
I knew that was coming.
Let's just call it what it is. So, and I urge you to check him out.
That sounds like definitely an idea that the audience should take you up on there, Miss Spilborg. So anyway, thanks to Corey Allen for dropping by this morning and talking with us. And for Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci, I am that Frankenberry fella, and we'll be back again next week, same time right here. So please join us again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.